The message this morning comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, and this is what it says. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. I heard about a man one time from England who saved his money and purchased a ticket to the United States on an ocean liner. For the long voyage across the ocean, he packed a sack full of sardines and crackers to eat. Sumptuous dinners were served every day up in the ship's galley, but he dined below on canned sardines and crackers. Before they arrived at the United States, the man ran out of sardines and crackers and was about to starve. It was then that he learned from another passenger that his ticket included meals along with the journey. His ticket purchased him the privilege of eating in the banquet room with all the other passengers, but he failed to take advantage of it. The passage before us today is about religious privileges. It is about religious privileges not taken advantage of by the Jews. I wonder if people in the church in the 21st century are not doing the same thing. Are people today doing the same thing with spiritual privileges? Are people today not taking advantage of spiritual privileges? How do people not take advantage of spiritual privileges? Well, first of all, people squander religious privileges by not realizing the value of them. The people of Israel, for the most part, have done this. They have been highly privileged, but they have failed to make the most of their spiritual privileges. Romans 9, 4 and 5 lists the privileges of the people of Israel. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. To them belong the adoption. God chose Israel out of all the peoples on the face of the earth and brought them out of Egypt to be His very own people. There's the glory. After God delivered Israel out of Egypt, He led them through the wilderness of Sinai by means of a cloud by day and a fire in the sky by night. When they came to Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain. The cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Exodus 24, 15 through 17 says, "Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." Later, when they built the tabernacle according to God's instructions, the glory of the Lord settled upon it. Exodus 40, 34 through 38 says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. The covenants. God made covenants with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David. The receiving of the law. It was Moses and Israel who received the law from God on Mount Sinai. The temple worship. This refers to all of the services carried on by the priests in the temple, including all of their duties and the sacrifices and the offerings. The promises. The Old Testament is filled with promises, but these promises probably refer to Christ. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." Theirs are the patriarchs. The patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, men who were highly favored with God. And from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. When God sent His only begotten Son into the world, He was born as a son of Israel. These are all tremendous good privileges. Israel has been blessed with a rich heritage of religious advantages, but for the most part, Israel has not taken advantage of them, especially the last one in the list. From them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Paul says in verses 2 and 3 that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. We Americans in the 21st century are guilty of the same thing. We have had abundant religious privileges, but we have not made the most of them. As a matter of fact, our country is trending toward rejection of them altogether. People squander religious privileges by expecting the religious privileges alone to guarantee salvation. Jesus was drawn into a controversy with some Jews one day. They said, in essence, "We are secure in our relationship to God because we are Abraham's children." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things." What was Jesus saying? He was saying, "You may claim to be Abraham's children, but you are not really Abraham's children. You may be Abraham's physical descendants, but you don't have the same spirit that Abraham had." You see the same teaching in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children." When I read that verse, "For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel," I am reminded of that line from Shakespeare, "All that glitters is not gold." What does it mean? It means that there's always the possibility of fraud. All that glitters is not necessarily gold. All who are descended from Israel are not necessarily Israel. All who are church members are not necessarily Christians. Some of the Jews in Jesus' days on earth had an attitude that they were the children of Abraham and their relationship with God was secure because of their physical descent from Abraham. Do we have that same kind of attitude too, because we have been raised in Christian families and brought up in church? Spiritual privileges alone do not guarantee salvation. People squander religious privileges by getting too comfortable with the outward forms of the practice of them. Think about the temple, the priesthood, and the ceremonies. The temple in Jerusalem was an impressive structure. No building was more beautiful than the temple. It was a magnificent building. And as far as the priesthood is concerned, there are people who love to go to churches today for the ritual. They love the show. They sit in the audience and they see the priests and the rectors and the others carrying out their little ministries on a platform. And they think because of what they see and feel that they have really been to church. Well, if anybody really had been to church, it was the Israelites. They had that magnificent ceremony laid out in the book of Leviticus. Day after day, the priests in their garments carrying out their ministries. And then on the Day of Atonement, they put on the garments of glory and beauty and performed all of the other things that made for the sacrifices. And then there were the feast days and the ceremonies attached to them. They were designed to teach Israel that there was coming someone who would fulfill all of this, and all of it would be done away with, and the time would come when they would worship God in spirit and in truth. During one of their festivals, the priests were carrying out a ritual that had to do with water. That water was a symbol of the Holy Spirit and eternal life that Jesus would give. And as they were carrying out that ritual, Jesus spoke up and said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." They were observing a ritual about Jesus, and He was there in their midst, and they missed the point. Another time, they were carrying out a ritual that had to do with light. And Jesus spoke up and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." They were performing a ceremony that pointed to Him, and He was in their midst, and they missed the point. They were too comfortable with the outward practice of religion, and they missed the heart of it. In 1967, 80% of all watches in the world were made in Switzerland. Today, 5% of all watches in the world are made in Switzerland. Do you know why the change occurred? In 1967, a new watch was invented that was powered by a quartz crystal. But here's the irony. A Swiss watchmaker invented the quartz watch. He went around to the watch companies in Switzerland. They said, "It doesn't have wheels. It doesn't tick. We don't like it." A company in Japan was interested. The name of the company was Seiko. Another company in Texas was interested. That was Texas Instruments. The Swiss watchmakers had the greatest invention of the 20th century with regard to watches, but they snubbed their noses at it. They liked the way that they were making watches. The Jews were so comfortable with the externalities of their religion that they snubbed their noses at the one who was the real essence of their religion, and they missed Him. I think some church members are so comfortable with the externalities of religion that they snub their noses at a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, and they miss it. Some people would rather blame God for being lost than take advantage of religious privileges. The main purpose of this whole section of Romans chapters 9 through 11 is to defend God in the light of the Jews' rejection of the gospel. You see, You would think that the Jews, with all of their religious advantages, would be saved. But they have, for the most part, rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone might say, in light of the promises God made to the Jews, that God has failed. Not so. In fact, Romans 9:6 says, it is not as though God's Word had failed, and the rest of chapters 9 through 11 explain how God's Word has not failed. God has not been caught by surprise by the unbelief of the Jews. His promises will come true. He is able, by sovereign election, to save all that He ever intended to save. As for the Jews, there is a remnant now. Romans 11:5 says, at the present time there is a remnant, chosen by grace. There are a few Jews being saved now. Their rejection is temporary and not permanent. There's a time coming in the future, Paul says in chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, when Israel as a nation will turn to Jesus and be saved. Romans 9:14-15 says, is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Why not humbly ask God to let you be one of the ones He has compassion on, rather than to blame Him for being lost? How do people squander religious privileges? They don't see the value of them. They expect privileges alone to save them. They get too comfortable with the outward forms of religion and miss the heart of it. They blame God for being lost rather than humbly submitting to Him for mercy. Finally, people fail to take advantage of religious privileges because they are entrenched in unbelief. You read over this list of Israel's privileges and you think, surely these people should be saved. Theirs is the adoption as sons. There's the divine glory. There's the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. After God had prepared them for hundreds of years, He came and visited them as a man, as one of them. And they rejected Him. Someone will say, but what if they thought Jesus was an imposter? An imposter does not do all the miracles that Jesus did. An imposter does not rise from the dead. All of our grounds for rejecting Jesus are unfounded. He is who He claimed to be. In the summer of 1938... a man who lived on Long Island, New York, bought a very expensive barometer. When the instrument arrived at his home, he was aggravated because the instrument was obviously malfunctioning. The needle on the barometer was stuck pointing to the area that said hurricane. He wrote an angry letter to the manufacturer and dropped it in the mail on his way to work in New York City the next morning. By the time he could return to his home on Long Island, his house and the barometer had been destroyed by a hurricane. The barometer had been right. Have you ever considered the claims of Christ that He might be just who He said He was, and that He might be able to give you what He offered? If you are here this morning, and God has brought you to the knowledge of your sinfulness, that you are guilty, that you stand under divine condemnation, that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, then flee to Christ. Come to Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. In Him is everlasting life. Amen.